Hey, does anybody know what Friday was? That's right. Okay. Did anybody here get any Valentine? None? Not at school?
Wasn't at school.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I think I just blew this children's sermon. Okay. Did you get a Valentine? You did. Did it have a lollipop with it? What? No. Mom says no. When I was a kid, way back when, if we got a lollipop attached to our Valentine's Day, it was the coolest Valentine out there. Now it's nothing, but back then it was a big deal. Okay. Do you know why Valentines are shaped like a heart? Okay.
Yeah.
It is. Okay, well, sort of. Okay, it represents love. Okay? And do you think Jesus wants a Valentine from us?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I don't think he wants a paper Valentine like we do. Okay. You do? Okay. I think he wants us. Okay, did you make some in Sunday school last week? Yeah, Donna made some. Oh, cool. Okay, I think he wants us to show our love for him by giving our heart. Okay. Okay, and if he was to give us a Valentine, what would it be? What would it look like?
Good. Anything else, everybody? You got them all.
Okay. How about this? Okay. What's this? Okay. It's my Bible. Okay. All the love that God has, we can find in here. Okay. So this is His Valentine to us. Okay? It's not a paper Valentine. It's much better. It will stay with you to the day you die, where that paper Valentine will get thrown in the garbage after a while. Okay. Okay. It is paper. You got it. Sorry. Okay. So he showed his love to us by giving, he showed his love to him by giving our heart to him. After all, he gave his life to us. Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. As Jesus shows his love for us on the cross, may we show our love for him by giving our heart to him. Amen. Is there junior church this morning? Okay. Good morning. A man brought the 3 cards, 3 boxes of candy, and the 3 sets of flowers up to the cashier for checkout. Cashier rolled her eyes at him, and she looked at the wedding band and mumbled, "These players make me sick." That caused everyone else in line to look at the man with disgust. So the man responded, "One set is for my mom, because my dad passed away, and he used to do this for my mom, and he taught me how to give love. The next set is for my wife, because I love her, and she teaches me how to receive and treasure love. And the last set is for my daughter, because it's up to me to teach her how she should be treated and who she should give her love to." As most of you know, Friday was Valentine's Day. The children were probably exchanging Valentines, or not, with the other kids in their class. If they were lucky, their Valentines also had a lollipop in it. Husbands and wives spent time looking for the perfect card that explained exactly how they felt about their spouse. And wives, if you were lucky, you didn't have to cook supper on Friday night because your hubby treated you to a romantic dinner at your favorite restaurant. Hallmark estimated that 151 million Valentine's Day cards were exchanged, not including the children's ones. Approximately 58 million pounds of chocolate candy were purchased the week before Valentine's Day. In addition to the $345 million spent on chocolate for Valentine's Day, an additional $103 million were spent on other Valentine's Day candies, like Candy Heart. More than 35 million heart-shaped boxes of chocolate were purchased for Valentine's Sweethearts, and people spent approximately $1.7 billion for flowers on Valentine's Day. And this is the one that gets more than 9 million pet owners are expected to buy gifts for their pets this Valentine's Day. Okay, I'm crazy, but I'm not that crazy. Okay, people sure do get all excited about love. To quote the Beatles, all we need is love. But without God's love, can we really know the true meaning of love? God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels that have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. But as Cindy read this morning, it goes on, starting in verse 4, telling us what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and never fails. The chapter ends with verse 13 saying, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3, it says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drowned you with loving kindness. The fact that God let his only son to die on the cross for our sins should be overwhelming proof, even for the most skeptical person, that God understands our struggles and that he is willing to suffer with us. God let Jesus die that day at Calvary so all of us could have eternal life. If we just accept him as our personal savior. God's love can't be understood until we have experienced it, until you actually have God's love in your heart. No one can fully explain with words what that feels like. But just because God loves us doesn't mean everything is warm and fuzzy all the time. God does punish for sin. We as parents do the same thing. We love our children, but when they have done something wrong, we punish them. It is God's way. And our way of teaching right from wrong. Probably one of the most memorized verses in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But I find the next five verses are also interesting too. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done and done through God. God's love for us doesn't depend on how much money we make, what type of job we have, who our friends are, have we memorized all the books of the Bible in order, or can we recite lots of Bible verses. None of this matters to him. What matters is that we have acknowledged we are sinners and have asked for forgiveness by asking him into our hearts to be our Savior. God shows his love for us many times throughout a day, and we are too busy that we can't even grasp. And then there are the aha moments. As many of you know, I used to raise monarch butterflies commercially. Most of my butterflies went to be released at weddings, but occasionally I would get a call that someone wanted them for a funeral or a memorial service. Sadly, I would occasionally get a call from a school. Many times, if a young student or teacher has passed away, the school will build a memorial garden in memory of that person. I've got many thank you notes from people telling me how moved they were when the butterflies were released. Many times, the butterflies would flutter around. It wasn't unusual for them to land on one of the parents. This always was very comforting to that mom or dad, because because they took it as a sign as their son or daughter was with them at that moment, and they were fine in heaven. I've cried through many of those letters as I've read them. I never gave it much thought, other than how special it was for those parents at that moment. It probably has been 11 years now since we've had a small house dog named Festus. Dies in a family named Renault. He was 14 years old and was having heart problems. Bad enough that we thought he might be suffering, and it was time to have him. Now, if you know me, you know that my dogs are part of my family, but this was not an easy decision. The day that we said it was time to do it, the boys and Victor gave him a last hug, told him how much they had loved him, and they went to go on to work. I had to be the one to take him to bed. It was a horrible day because I couldn't get an appointment until the afternoon. I took him to the vet, and the vet confirmed we were making the right decision. So I said my goodbyes and left him. Victor and Cody came home shortly after me, and they took him to the woods to bury him along with our other pets there. I stayed at the house because I had already cried enough. It was taking them a long time, so I went up to the edge of the yard and sat on a large rock. I didn't want to see what was going on, but I could talk to them from there. It wasn't easy to dig in the woods with rocks and tree roots, and they were both having a few crying spells too. As I was sitting there on the rock, a butterfly started flying around me and finally landed on my shoulder. I probably wouldn't have thought too much about it, because it's happened to me many times in my garden as I've been pulling weeds. What made that moment a little different was it wasn't an ordinary butterfly like a monarch. It was a species of butterfly I hadn't seen that year in my yard. It must have stayed on my shoulder for about 10 minutes. When Victor and Cody were finished burying Festus, they walked over to me, and it was then the butterfly floated off. I still didn't give it much thought other than it was a great moment. I work from home. My office of business are about 50 feet from my house in a pole field. Every morning I would holler for Festus, "Come on, we're going to work now," and he'd follow me out. Next morning I was a little sad because I was heading out of the house without my buddy. As soon as I stepped off the patio, it was the same, or I assumed it was the same, butterfly, just basking in the morning sunshine on the sidewalk. Now I got what God was telling me. I remember looking up into the sky and saying, "Okay, God, I get it. He's okay." And I didn't cry anymore after that. He used that butterfly to let me know that I had made the right decision. Okay. God was showing his love for me that day, and it was a special moment for me. It wasn't one that I will ever forget. That's love. That's agape love. That's unselfish. What a powerful love that is. So God has given us this wonderful gift of his love. What are we to do with it now? Keep it all to ourselves? I don't think that's what God had in mind. I think once we have accepted God as our personal Savior, we are meant to pass that love on to others. How do we do that? Well, let's start where we are most comfortable. How about with our children? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." We moms know how easy it is to love our children. That love started for me as soon as I found out I was pregnant, and it grew each day until each son was born. For most moms, that is a love that never ends, no matter how old they get. It is fairly easy to talk to our young children about Jesus and God's love. There are plenty of children's Bibles and books with short stories about Jesus that we read to our children. We can and should bring them to church and the Sunday school, where they will learn more about God's love and see others worshiping God and see God's love in action. However, we aren't meant to stop there. And here's where it gets a little harder for most of us. What about your friends, other family members, complete strangers? Mark 16:15-16 says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" You say, "Wow, I'm not very good at talking about God with others. But I don't think any Christian is in the beginning. We all have a comfort zone that we are comfortable in. Standing here this morning isn't necessarily one of my more comfortable zones. But comfort zones are always changing. You do what is uncomfortable once, and the next time it's a little easier, and you just keep building a little upon that each time. All people watch and learn by action. Christians shouldn't just say they are Christians. They need to show it by their actions and their words. They need to share their love of God with others. It can be as easy as visiting a shut-in, taking someone a meal and spending time with them, picking up the phone and calling someone who might be lonely and talking to them for a while, volunteer to work at one of the many programs we have here at church or in our community. I was at a memorial service for a family member a few years back. The person that passed away didn't live in Pennsylvania any longer, but all our brothers and sisters and their immediate family still lived close to one another. So the only people at this small service were just family members. One of her nephews spoke that day about how he wanted everyone there to accept God as their Savior, if they hadn't already done so. He went on for quite a while, which caused some of the members to be a little upset with him. They thought it should have been a message more about her and not so much about salvation. His reason for the long message was, as he stated, because he wanted to see all his relatives in heaven with him. Every one of us here should want the same thing. We have loved our loved ones here on earth. Why on earth when we want to have them in heaven with us? This should be all our New Year's resolutions for each New Year. If you know one of your family members or friends that isn't a Christian, at the very least, invite them to church. You know, I said, with you. No one likes to walk into a church by themselves for the first time. For about 2 years now, I have repeatedly watched the music video that was played as our offertory this morning. Singing Somebody Like Me was Jason Crabb. I bet I've watched that video at least 20 times, and each time I've watched it, I've been moved to the point of tears up my back. Actually, I listened to it a lot while I was writing this message. I think it's a good example of how we can show God's love to others. Obviously, the drunk man in this story wasn't one of the most upstanding men in the community, but he was brave enough to come to that church on that Sunday morning. I'm sure that took up a lot of courage. But because he was a little different from the other congregants, he was made to feel like he didn't fit in. He was an outsider. But did you notice that the little boy that he was sitting beside was willing to give him a smile and started to talk to him before his mother pulled him away? Maybe this man had never known God's love. Maybe he did and rejected it. Or over time just forgot about it. Or it could have been the pain of losing his family that had driven him to drink and blame God. How sad was it when he got up in the middle of the service and left and no one tried to stop him? In the end, it only took one person to walk up to him and put their arm around him. It didn't take a lot of effort on that person's part, but I bet it meant the world to that man in need. It is moments like this that define us as a Christian. Wouldn't that somebody be you? In James 5:19-20, God is speaking to Christians when he says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring you back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins." I can't think of any better gift for us than to know the love of Jesus in our hearts and that we have shared that love with someone else and they have accepted him as their Savior too. In closing, I'd like to share this story. 6-year-old Brandon decided one Saturday morning to fix his parents' pancakes. He found a big bowl and spoon, pulled a chair to the counter, opened the cupboard, and pulled out the heavy flour canister, spilling it on the floor. He scooped up some of the flour into the bowl with his hands, mixed in some of the milk, and added some sugar, leaving a floury trail on the floor by which now had a few cracks by his kit. Brandon was covered with flour and getting frustrated. He wanted this to be very special for his mom and dad, but it was getting very bad. He didn't know what to do next, whether to put it into the oven or on the stove, and he didn't know how the stove worked. Suddenly, he saw his kitten licking from the bowl of mix and reached to push her away, knocking the egg carton on the floor. Frantically, he tried to clean up this monumental mess, but slipped on the eggs, getting his pajamas white and sticky. And just then, he saw Dad standing at the door. Big crocodile tears welled up in Brandon's eyes. All he wanted to do was something good, but he made a terrible mess. He was sure a scolding was coming, maybe even a spanking, but his father just watched him. Then he walked through the mess. He picked up his crying son, hugged him, and loved him, getting his own pajamas white and sticky in the process. That's how God deals with us. We try to do something good in life, but it turns into a mess. Our marriage gets all sticky. We are insulted. We've insulted a friend. We can't stand our job, or our health goes sour. Sometimes we just stand there in tears because we can't think of anything else to do. That's when God picks us up and loves us and forgives us, even though some of our mess gets all over him. But just because we might mess up, we can't stop trying to make pancakes for God or for others. Sooner or later, we'll get it right, and then we will be glad. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us enough to send your Son to forgive our sins. Sometimes we try to control our lives, and in the meantime get everything all messed up. We forget that you are our Lord, and you are always in control. You always care for your